Today, I'm going to deal with the miracle of His birth. The miracle of His birth. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now it's important that you note the phrase, before they came together. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, tells you the reason why, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And, here's that phrase again, knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, I mentioned that this is the miracle of his birth. The miracle lies in the fact that not only did Joseph not know her in a physical way, she had not known any man. She was a virgin. You say, well, I just can't accept that. Well, we don't need your vote on it. I don't mean this bad, but it's really not what you say or I say. It's what God's Word says. Now, can you imagine when this happens to Joseph? I don't think when he got the message and the angel appeared to him, I don't think he saw a miracle at all. I think he saw a mess. I think he looked around and thought, what am I going to do? He was totally ignorant to what was happening spiritually. It's like this generation today that we live in, the Word of God is all around them. The Word of God is absolutely permeating their life, but they're spiritually ignorant to what the Word of God has to say. And all he could see was a mess through all of it. And through that, his intentions, I believe, were probably good intentions. He didn't mean anything harmful by it. He didn't want to humiliate Mary. He didn't want to humiliate her reputation. So he thought, I'm going to have to hide her away. But I've already preached, you can't hide Jesus. And that's when the angel gave the instructions to him. Here he is now, he fears the engagement is over. He has a feeling of embarrassment. But still, he finds this encouragement from the angel when the angel says, go ahead and take her to be your wife. Their espouse, which you know well, the espousal period for the Jewish people was that time where they'd already even taken on one another's names. When you were espoused, you took on the name before the wedding ever came. Maybe that didn't hit you quite yet. Before the wedding came, you already took on the name. Do you know that as the church of the living God, we're espoused to Jesus Christ? We're in the engagement period now, but there's going to be a wedding, and we've already taken on His name. We call ourselves Christians. So here He is now saying, I've got the instruction from God. So the first thing we see in this, I'll just give you two or three things briefly this morning. First of all, the prophecy of this miracle. This miracle had been prophesied. The very nature of it had been prophesied. You'll find it in two verses. She shall bring forth a son, and she'll be a virgin. That was prophesied by Isaiah over 700, nearly 750 years before Christ ever came, through all of those generations, almost 20 generations, and yet it had been prophesied, but people had given up on it and thought it would never happen. Many of the Jewish people had even lost sight of a Messiah to come, but yet it was prophesied. The Lord said, I'm going to send him. He will come by a virgin, and the virgin conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. Not only was the nature of it given to us, but also the name was given. Jesus. He was very explicit about what to name this child. He shall be named Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He gave him that name because of the need of this miracle. We needed salvation, and the law could not save. The prophets could not save. The judges could not save. The kings could not save. But Jesus is the Savior of the world. The Savior that men and women had longed for all the years of being on this earth, for 4,000 years. They prayed for a Savior, and the Savior had come, and his name is Jesus. But not only the prophecy of it, of the miracle, but the purpose of the miracle. Why did God allow this miracle to happen this way? Well, it's simple. First of all, because of the completion of the Bible. He said it, it had to come to pass. Just because something hasn't come to pass yet that has been prophesied by God doesn't mean that it's not going to come to pass. Everything that God says, every word that He gives is true and sure. It'll happen just the way that He said it in His Word. He did it to fulfill His Word. God made a promise through Isaiah, and now here He is fulfilling that Word because of the completion of the Bible. Not only because of the completion of the Bible, because of the corruption of the blood. See, everybody else, you, me, everyone living in all the world at that time, their blood had been corrupted. When Adam sinned and Eve sinned, there was a corruption of blood that came about. And now we're all sinners. Sinners by nature. Sinners by birth. Sinners by choice. But every one of us is a sinner. We all need the Lord. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. You may not know what you've done, but you're a sinner. You look to the Lord, the Lord will show you what you've done wrong. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's God's Word in fulfillment. My blood, your blood, the blood of any other human being was not sufficient to save because our blood was corrupted. But Jesus was born of a virgin but conceived by a holy God through a Holy Ghost. And because of that, there was no corruption in His blood. He knew no sin. He never sinned. He could not sin if He was the Son of God. Now, it's not that He didn't have the choice. He was tempted in all points like we are tempted, yet without sin, the Bible teaches us. Well, how do you have proof that His blood was the blood of God? Now, let me clarify this right now, and I don't think it ought to be up for debate in this church, but I want to make this perfectly clear. The blood of Jesus was divine blood. Amen. Divine blood. Let me back up over that. The blood of Jesus was divine blood. Drawn directly from Emmanuel's veins. Transported through the power of the Holy Ghost. God prepared the womb that would bring forth the Son of God that was perfect, the sinless Lamb, to die for our sin. Well, why is that so important? Well, there's proof that His blood was not a mere man's blood. What's the proof? Because according to Ephesians and Colossians, His blood redeems us. And it's through His blood that we have forgiveness. Now, today that doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people because they don't even realize the devil has them. He's so good at what he does, he has people and they don't even realize that he has them. So they don't understand redemption. And when you use a word like redemption, it's a word that they look at one another and say, well, what does that mean, redemption? Well, he bought us back. The devil took possession of man in the Garden of Eden when sin came and death came. But now, through this Savior, this baby, the miraculous birth of the Messiah, it was starting the journey to Calvary where the blood would be given that you and I can claim redemption. He paid the price with his blood. Let me put it in words like this. If I use the name Fred and Lydia Fisher, that means nothing probably to the average person here today. Fred and Lydia Fisher had a mom and pop pawn shop that they operated for over 40 years. It was on Main Street in the little town that they lived in. And for 40 years they operated this pawn shop, and Fred died suddenly. When Fred died, it left Lydia with the lack of desire to continue with the business. She just couldn't bring herself to carry on with the business. She lost all drive and all desire. So after contemplating what to do, she thought she couldn't go through the long, drawn-out process of selling the business. So she just closed the shop up. And she was going to move south, and she thought, I'll just close it up. But she started thinking about everything in that shop. Everything that her and Fred had, that they had worked for, was in that shop. And she thought, well, as one final gesture, I'll do this. So she got a clientele list of everyone that had items that were pawned in that shop. And she sent them a card, and she told them on that card that as one final gesture of thanks and appreciation, that anything that they had pawned, they could get back free of charge if they would just come to the shop and claim it. So on the last statement in bold print, she put these words, pawn shop closing, claim what's yours. Do you know when Jesus died and gave his blood, he closed the devil's pawn shop? And the devil had every one of our souls. We'd been pawned off cheaply. We've been pawned off for reasons that are too vast in number to mention. But when Jesus died on Calvary and said, it's finished, he said, the devil's pawn shop's closed. Now whatever you need, it's yours. Come and claim it. Everything that the devil has taken and claimed as his own, we can claim it. We can claim our salvation. We can claim our healing. We can claim our peace. We can claim our joy. We can claim our family. We can claim our job. We can claim our community. We can claim our nation. We can claim our lost loved ones. Everything that the devil has, the devil's pawn shop is closed. What's yours? Claim it. Claim it. Not only did he bring redemption, but he brought forgiveness. The blood not only redeems, but the blood brings forgiveness to us. Now our problem is, we don't have a good experience with forgiveness. Hardest thing I see people do is forgive one another, because we don't have the quality of God. I hear it all the time. Well, forgive and forget. See right there, you're on the wrong premise to begin with. You can't forget. You can't forget. You say, oh, sure you can. No, you can't. No. What it is that you have to pray that God is bigger in you to help you overcome the fact that you can't forget. You can't forget it. And not only that, but sometimes we are so reluctant to give forgiveness ourselves that then we automatically assume everyone else is just like that. I dealt with two individuals for years, both of them professing Christians. And for the life of me, I don't understand this, but it happens. Don't be angry when I say this. But they'd gone for years and they wouldn't speak to one another. Somehow I got caught in the middle of all of it. And that's always a dangerous thing. It's like a couple was fighting one time. and they're about to get a divorce, and I sat down with them and talked with them, and after it was over, they came to the conclusion I was the problem. Well, that's what they told everybody. So it's hard to get people when they're in the middle of a war to stand in the middle, not get shot in the front and shot in the back. That's all I'm saying. But I got drug in the middle of this, so I would hear both sides of it. And listen to me right now. There's always three sides to every story. Each side has their own story, and usually there's the story. It's a combination usually of both and a little more. You're welcome. But I don't understand how Christians can go without speaking to one another. Thank you. One amen's better than none. But they had. So for years and years, I tried to bring them on common ground, tried to get them. So finally, I asked one of them, what will it take for you to be able to get this behind you and move forward? If they apologize to me, preacher, that's all it'll take. I said, you mean all of this and all you need to hear is I'm sorry. Yes. So I got them together. I explained to the other one, this is all that it'll take. It'll all be behind you. You move forward. Man, it's a big day. We got together and the one looked at the other and said, I want to tell you, I'm sorry. And the other one got up, stormed out the door, and the last words out the door, you said you're sorry, but you didn't mean it. That's why we have a problem with forgiveness. See, we think God treats us like this, but I've got great news for you today. When God says He'll forgive us, He can do what we cannot do. First of all, He doesn't hold it against us. He forgives us completely, and God cannot remember it. I don't care how much we remember, God cannot remember it. It's done. It's gone forever. The record book is clear. The blood not only brings forgiveness, but it brings cleansing. It washes us away. The Old Testament blood was put on the mercy seat. It just covered for sin. But the New Testament blood of Jesus Christ, the eternal sacrifice, it doesn't only cover our sin, it washes our sin away. It's gone forever in the eyes of God. God said, you can never be charged for it. It can't be brought against you anymore. It's cleansed. It's gone. The blood of Jesus proves it's not a mere man's blood because it brings redemption. It brings forgiveness. It brings cleansing. It brings reconciliation. It brings people together. We were enemies of God. Aliens and astray. But on Calvary, Jesus died and took wayward man by one hand and a loving God by the other and placed them together, completed the work of the sacrifice. It brought adoption. The blood of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit brings us the adoption that we need in the family of God. He brings us in when we're not worthy. I was reading this week, and I read a true account of a lady, a Christian lady, that had raised a Jewish child. And people of her church were intrigued with the story, and they had her write the account down. This Christian lady was working in a capacity to try to help people that were going through the difficult days of World War II. She happened to be one day at the train station where the Nazis were marching the people, loading them on trains to take them to the gas chambers. And this frail lady, Jewish lady, was walking, and a toddler, barely able to walk, was trying to keep up behind. Of course, the mother was doing all she could to shield the child not to see what was happening. When suddenly a Nazi soldier grabbed the woman and said, "Whose child is that?" And the woman turned to the Christian woman and said, "It's hers." And the Christian woman said there was something in her eyes as to say, "If you say this child is yours, she is, because I'm giving her to you." And immediately the Christian mother said to the Nazi soldier when he asked, "Is this your child?" "Yes." She took the child in, raised the child, taught the child the love of God. Do you know something? The devil was marching every one of us to the gas chamber. He was after our soul. And the very imps of hell saw us toddling behind on the way to destruction, turned to a wonderful Savior and said, "Is this child yours?" And Jesus, in love and compassion, said, "Yes, I'll take them in. Yes, I'll make them part of my family." Adoption. I can prove His blood is different because my blood didn't buy this church, your blood didn't buy this church, but the church of the living God was bought and paid in full according to Acts 20 by the precious blood of Jesus. He purchased it with His own blood. Then there's the proof of the miracle. A miracle is only a miracle if you can prove it. Well, what is the proof? Well, the proof, first of all, is the Word. It's proven His Word. It happened because He said it happened. And there's a record of how it happened in the Word of God. The proof is in His Word. The proof was not only in the Word, the proof was in the womb. That's why the virgin birth is so significant. The proof was not only in the Word, and in the womb, well, what's the miracle of that? Well, I wonder, do you know of anyone else that was a virgin that had a baby? See, that's why all these other religions of the world are wrong. You can trace their lineage. You know their parents. You know their mother. You know their father. But when it comes to Mary, she had not known a man, but conceived by the Holy Ghost. Proof was not only in the Word and in the womb, but I want you to think about this. It was in the witnesses. If you put anything to a test, if it goes to a test in a court of law, the thing that strengthens the case is witnesses. Were there witnesses that this is true? Well, we know the angels witnessed it. They declared it was Him. That's why they said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That's why He said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." They declared it was Him. The angels witnessed it. Joseph witnessed it. Mary witnessed it. Elizabeth witnessed it. Zacharias witnessed it. The shepherds witnessed it. The innkeeper witnessed it. And the Heavenly Father witnessed it. Well, where's the testimony of the Heavenly Father? Oh, He even reconfirmed it 30 years later after that baby has now grown into a man on that day at the banks of the Jordan when John went down with Jesus to baptize Him to fulfill all righteousness according to Matthew's writing. The Bible says there was a voice from God out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He didn't say it was Joseph's son. Yes, Joseph raised him, but he wasn't the biological father. God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He knew how it happened. You say, "Well, I don't understand it all." That's why you're going to go to heaven in one day. You'll understand all of it. That's why He's God and you're not. He witnessed it. And by the way, I can say I know that it's true because by faith I have witnessed it. And you have witnessed it. There's something in the power of the birth of this child that the hardest of people at this time of year, their heart gets soft, tender. They say things they normally don't say. They think about things they normally don't think about. Why, some of you here today, the reason you wandered into this place wasn't by accident. You've had your thoughts on Jesus. You see the signs of Christmas everywhere. You see the reflection of looking back on history of where he came the first time. And now you sense something's happening. That same Jesus is coming again. Do you need redemption? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need cleansing? Do you need reconciliation? Do you feel like you're far away from Jesus? Do you need adoption? Do you need peace? Do you need goodwill? Everything that you're looking for, you'll find in Jesus.